Welcome everybody to From Rock Bottom to Badass. And today I have a super, super special guest. Her name is Fallon Williams. And me and Fallon have been following each other for a while on social media. And we've tried to get together a couple times. And now we finally have like this awesome space where we get to connect and I get to really just learn all about her. So I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being here, Fallon.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited that we can finally talk.
I know, it's going to be so good. I can feel it. So first, tell all the people, who are you?
I'm Fallon. I am the queen of everything captivation. So I have different businesses under the head business of captivation. What else do you want to know?
What are the things that you would put like after your I am?
I am a podcast coach podcaster, podcast coach, mom, wife, business coach, personal trainer, lots of things.
I know your personal training stuff was what I remember seeing of you first.
You know, that's how I started. Yeah. And it's evolved from there.
Board. So, in order to be here, you said you identify with a rebirth scenario or some kind of recovery journey. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so my life has changed a lot. I kind of always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but you know, at some point responsibilities get in the way. And then you pick like a more like path that people can understand.
Yeah.
Like something that society wants you to do. And I always heard, oh, you're so smart. You should do this. You should do that. So I did. And I became a paralegal. I was a paralegal in criminal defense for about 10 years. And it just wasn't fulfilling anymore at some point. Because my goal was to help people when I was doing it. Like I was working with the people. A lot of people with mental health issues, addiction issues, those are the people that get in trouble. Yeah. And not because they're bad people. It's because there's all these underlying issues. And in my mind, I would be able to help them through the process and, you know, somehow say something that would change the way their life is going. So I was going to take it further and become a lawyer. I started law school. I ended up dropping out. But one day I was at work, my boss was horrible, my last boss, and he had been encouraging me, like, you should go to law school, you should be a partner, because I'm a really good paralegal. Yeah. And he's like, you should be a lawyer, because I was basically doing all of the work. He's like, so you should just be the lawyer, and then, like, I don't have to do anything at all. So I was going with it. But then one day he was just so unhappy all of the time. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. And he said, why? And I said, you are so miserable. Like, what about this is appealing? And he was so upset with me. He was shocked. And then he was like, what do you mean? Like, you're not happy. How are you trying to convince me to do this? And you hate it.
Right.
I'm like, so at the time, you know, I was going to the gym all the time. And that was my happy place. That's where I got all my stress out. Mm-hmm. That was like my saving grace of the day was going to the gym every morning. I was like, well, I might as well just be at the gym all day.
Yeah.
So I signed up to be a personal trainer. I went to school and everybody thought I was insane. Like, you're going to drop out of law school and be a personal trainer. Yeah, I am, because it makes me happy. And yeah. When I interviewed for like my internship, they said, this is quite a career change. Yeah. Like, well, I just want to help people. And if I can't help people through the law, I can help people here and people appreciate it. And how can you be unhappy at the gym? Like, you might get mad about your workout, but you're not unhappy while you're there. Right. There's too many endorphins.
Too many endorphins. Yeah, my early recovery, I used to like run like 6 miles every single morning. Everybody thought I was absolutely insane. I was like, it's only bad for like the first 30 minutes and then the rest of it, you're flying.
Yeah. And there's been like a proven correlation between people that start a fitness routine. When they're going into recovery, you're more successful because your mind needs something else to focus on. Plus you get the endorphins and the dopamine and all the things that your body wants, but you get them from exercising instead of from substances.
Yeah, I talk a whole lot about like neuroscience when I'm helping people in recovery, and like, you need to understand how your brain works and what chemicals it's wanting and how you can get them naturally.
Right.
Yeah. So your whole like, okay, so you get this drastic shift in career. What kind of consequences did it have on you to like be not like in your purpose?
I just wasn't happy. You know, like you're going through the motions and for a while, that's okay. You can do it. You can get up and do the things that you have to do. But I wasn't doing anything I liked doing. When you work a job like that, you don't have time for extra family stuff. You don't have time for hobbies. You don't have time to do anything that just brings you joy. It's always like work and responsibilities nonstop. And that makes you a difficult person to be around too, because you can't really be happy if your whole life is work and responsibilities.
True. So true. So what happened after? Like, how has it changed you to go through this makeover in your life?
It feels so good to just do what I want to do every single day. I'm not going to say there aren't days when it's hard, because being an entrepreneur is a roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah.
But it's so much more fulfilling.
And so like you said that you were like not fun to be around before, right?
Yeah, it makes you like grumpy and just short-tempered. You have less time for your family and stuff. And then like the little bit of downtime you get when you're not at work, you don't want to be like bombarded with 1,000 questions, and your kids can't help but ask you 1,000 questions, and you don't really have time for your friends. And yeah, and you just get kind of bored with life, and that's not a great feeling.
And so what are you like now? What's your personality like now?
Now I'm happy most of the time.
Right. Still a human.
Yeah, I'm still human. I'm not gonna pretend like toxic positivity over here. Like, oh, I never get upset.
Love and light.
But everything just flows now, and everything comes naturally. I'm not fighting for anything. When I work with clients, it feels like what I should be doing. There's like no question about it. So it makes me happy. I feel fulfilled. I'm free. If I don't want to do something, I don't have to do it. If I don't want to work on Mondays, I don't have to. I could just be like, no, this is my day where I just do what I want to do. So
yeah,
it's amazing. I'm so chill now.
That's awesome. And you light up too. Like when you talk, just when you talk about, as soon as I asked you about how are you now? And you're like, when I'm with my clients, and like your eyes sparkle and you just light up. And so it's like really easy to tell that that's a really true place that you're coming from, like real deep, fulfilled feelings.
Yeah. There is no better feeling than when you know that the work that you're doing is actually helping. Like it really makes a difference, not just like cliche, like, well, I just want to do good. Like, no, you actually are doing good. Mm-hmm. And you can see changes in people. And yeah, there's nothing better than that.
You can do useful work, right? Like any job has like useful work, and like it has a purpose, and it does matter in some way, right? But it's like, when it actually aligns with like what matters to you and your purpose, it's so much different.
It is. And it's a hard feeling to explain to anyone that's still stuck in like, you have to work, because I understand everybody has to work and pay their bills and all the jobs have to get done, right? But then there's some of us that just can't fit into that mold without being unhappy.
Yeah, I always would feel like an animal in a cage, no matter what. And I've had like some good experiences that were pretty like closely in alignment with what my purpose is, and great bosses and people that were just really willing to deal with like everything about me that made me a horrible employee, but a great boss of my own, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
really willing to sacrifice like some, they could have had this person, but they wanted me. And I was just never good with the roles and stuff. But like, even though, no matter what, even if there's like three roles, like, oh, you, Rachel, you only have to follow these three roles in the whole day, can you please keep your shit together? It's like, no.
Right.
No, I just don't want to do it.
You tell me so, I have to, I can't.
It's like the gorilla like in the cage. The gorilla in the cage at the zoo has like the nice rock and a nice leaf, and he like has water and food and everything. He's still in the fucking cage at the zoo. At the end of the day. Oh no, you're frozen.
Outside.
Okay, there you are. Okay. So now let's talk about what helped you survive your experience. So you decided like you needed to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a period of time where like you still had to keep working, even though you knew like going into business for yourself was the thing now?
Yeah.
But you still had to, you know, pay the bills. And was there a period of time you just kind of had to like survive? And what did you do?
Yeah, because my program was 4 months and then I had an internship after that and I had to keep working the whole time. Plus it was like, I got all these tests once I decided I was going to leave. Like I got offered a different job at a different law firm, making more money. So then I told my boss about that. So then he gave me a substantial raise to stay. And it was just, it was such a battle of like, do I stay and do what I've been doing? Cause I'm good at it and I know it's secure and you know, I'm supposed to pay. Or do I keep going with this journey that I'm on? And I mean, there was a lot of days I just wanted to walk out. Like, I can't do this anymore. I had already like in my heart, I had checked out. So I'm like, I don't want to do this. I just want to leave. So it was probably, it ended up being 10 months from the time that I decided like I was really, really done until I actually left.
10 months. What did you do with yourself in those 10 months to get through?
I just kept reminding myself that it was short term and I spent my free time working on what I wanted to be doing when I left. So I, you know, I did my personal training program through NASM. And then once I got my certification, then I started learning about more about building a business online and what I needed to do and doing all my branding and my posting. And I just focused on that as much as possible to the point that my boss was like, you spend more time on Facebook than you do doing your work. Because he was on my Facebook at the time. Like, okay, well, if you're going to complain about it, I'm going to block you because I get my job done.
Oh my gosh. Was there a big spiritual aspect to moving into your purpose?
Yeah, because I feel like we can live a regular life or we can live a life with a higher purpose. And I needed to be able to live a life with a higher purpose. And I needed to be free to be whatever kind of spirituality I wanted to be. And the office that I was at was very Republican and very Christian. And it didn't align with my values necessarily. So it was, that part was really difficult too. And now I can just be as weird and eccentric as I want to. Okay. Yeah, so it was really important to me to be able to be whatever spirituality I wanted to be, to just be able to share my beliefs and not have it cause problems at work. And for me to feel like I could just be myself and I could share with other people that they can have whatever beliefs they want to have. Because in my opinion, I don't care what people believe in. I support people in whatever their beliefs are. And being in an environment that I couldn't do that was really tough for me too. Because yes. I don't think anyone should be forced, like, you must believe this, and this is the only thing we can talk about in this place.
Yeah. I believe that too. So do you have, what does your spirituality look like now?
I say I'm spiritual and not religious. I lean towards a lot of practices from witchcraft. I like to do incantations and moon work and manifestations and tarot readings. Yeah, I believe all that. Stuff. Yeah, all that fun stuff. I believe the universe is always supporting us as long as we're helping it and we're working with it and not fighting it.
Yeah.
Being open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you struggling with now?
Finding a balance, I think, is the hardest part of being an entrepreneur, because some days I just want to do all the things at once.
I definitely don't do that.
Right? They don't all fit into my schedule.
I'm the queen of like 20,000 tabs up on my 3 screens.
Oh yeah, me too. All the time. And it drives my husband crazy, and he'll be like, why? Like, how am I supposed to remember what I'm doing if I close the tab? Like, that tab is there for a reason. I don't know what it is at the moment, but it made sense at the time.
I'll cycle back around to that tab. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe tomorrow. I don't know yet.
Yeah, like on my phone, I probably had 36 tabs open, and they're all really important information that I'm going to read. I don't know when, but I'm going to.
We don't need lists. We just need lots of tabs.
Right. And I think the other thing is setting boundaries, because I want to give so much that you can fall into that trap so easily where you're just like giving and not setting boundaries with people allows them to take way more than necessary. And it also doesn't help them grow if you're just giving them free rein to do things. That's been one of the biggest struggles that I've gone through in my business, is learning how to be firm with my boundaries.
Yeah. Accepting money is like really hard, or I'm getting better at now, but like I think the whole first year after I released my book, I spent all of the royalty money on giving away free copies. Like anytime I would make money on the book, I would spend it to buy author copies and then go donate them at like mental health organizations. And
oh my goodness.
Finally, my mom had to be like, Rachel, you know, this is like, you have to get paid too. And I was like, yeah. So I finally stopped giving away.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's hard though.
You just want to be able to give it to everyone. When you have something good to give, you know, you want everybody to have it.
Right. And that's why I started out with my services priced way too low. And I'm like, well, I just want to help people. Like, you have to make money. You have a business.
Right. I had a coach tell me, well, people are going to think that your work is low quality. She saw my posts up like with some insanely low price. I think it was like $25 for a session. And I had on LinkedIn like years ago. And she was like, and then like, was like, let me give you a free session of business coaching and set you out of it. And she like set me all the way straight. And she's like, look, like, you, I know that's great, but like, people are going to think that you're service is low quality because it's low priced. I know it's available for everybody, but this is not how to do it. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
Right.
Everybody can see that, you know?
Yeah. And then it's like, I want to be able to reach the most amount of people as possible, right? So I think giving people a low price will do that, but it doesn't really, because if people really want the help, they're going to come up with the money. I don't mean like, you need to give me $10,000 today, but if it's reasonable, people will come up with it.
Yeah.
And we can't always assume what people have either. I have a really bad problem of assuming like people need my generosity.
Yeah.
They don't.
You're just like insulting the hell out of people. And they're like, I've got plenty of money.
Right. I just assume everybody doesn't have any money.
So funny. Just because you were poor forever doesn't I am, lady.
Right.
Now take my check and shut up. Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the biggest supports along your journey and how did they support you?
I think probably my husband, because he has to put up with my random coming home and being like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be a lawyer anymore. Like, I'm going to work at the gym. And it's just, he's like, well, you'd be good at it. I don't know where this is coming from, but okay. And like all just the ups and downs, COVID, and it was hard to have, you know, a relatively new business during COVID because I started in October of 19. So it was a lot. Yeah. My husband was definitely the most supportive. When I have tantrums about things not going my way, he's always like, it's fine. You're good at what you do. It'll all come together. And then when it starts to, I'm like, oh yeah.
Well,
and I have the best friends in the world. I'm very blessed with the friends in my life. They are always like encouraging me to do everything.
That's so good. I feel like I just had to take a look at my husband's perspective on me. I was listening to you talking, I was like, oh God. He's probably cringing all the time. Do you have any favorite quotes or saying or mantras or mottos or prayers or anything like that that you like to get you through tough times?
The one when I was first starting was, why would I stop? Or who's gonna stop me?
Nice.
I used to say that all the time, like, who's gonna stop me? I'm gonna do it, you know.
Yeah.
Now I have like all different kinds of affirmations. Right now, the one on my phone is like, I'm powerful, magical, captivating.
Mm. Beautiful.
I usually make a different one each month for my screensaver on my phone related to whatever I need to feel for the month.
Yeah.
It's always different.
Same. I make my passwords my affirmations, so I have to type them and say them 20,000 times a day.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
I'm like, you're going to do this affirmation. Make it my Facebook password. You're going to get in there, right? Okay, so let's say there's a girl that's just like Fallon was back in the day as a paralegal, just unhappy as hell at her job. And she was feeling just like you felt. What would you say to her? One piece of advice.
You are not stuck. You can change your life anytime you are ready.
Shit, yeah. And where are you going from here?
I am going to keep growing. I want to do more stuff locally because I really like to be in front of people. I feel like I have so much time to make up for from a year of being in the house. My extrovert self is like, I need to see all the people, every single one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any final words, any shout outs? If somebody wanted to partake in any of your captivating services, where could they find you?
at CaptivationQueens.com or at Captivation Queen on all social media.
All right. And can you tell people what are all the services again that you provide?
I am an intuitive business and branding coach, and I help people like create a clear vision for their business so they can leave their 9-to-5s. I work with a lot of people that are just in the position that I was in, like they're ready to go. And I help them like create the routines that they need to do that, teach them all about balancing their life, branding once they get started. I do tarot readings for people when they are just feeling stuck. I help people with branding. I'm going to be coming out with a branding offer soon. And I do fitness coaching, but not that much lately because nobody wanted to work out when we were stuck at home in sweatpants.
They're going to now.
Yeah.
Oh God, I've gained 30 pounds during COVID. Help me.
Heard so that a lot.
All right, people, if you need to lose your 30 COVID pounds, right. Alan can help you.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been a blast, and I hope everybody makes it to the end and through all of our just like giggling that we did.
I hope so too. Giggling is the best though. Those are the kind of podcasts I listen to.
Yeah, this was so much fun.
It was. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Overhead Doors. At Phoenix Overhead Doors, you hire a repairman, not a salesman. That's their slogan. Phoenix Overhead Doors is repair and install service by a true repairman that won't upsell or upcharge. The only thing going up is your garage door. With over 7 years of experience in the industry, they're the experts that you need to take care of your home or business. And that's why they'll treat your home as if it was their own. And that's why they get 5-star ratings and great reviews from all of their customers. You can call and schedule your free estimate today and get honest and trusted advice that empowers you to make the best decision for your family on your budget. Check out www.phoenixoverhead.com for more info or to use their website to schedule yourself a free estimate. You can also call 502-528-0581. Phoenix Overhead Doors is guaranteed to rise.